Welcome to PharmaTalk Radio. I'm Valerie Bowling, producer of the show. PharmaTalk Radio is a nonprofit program to disseminate helpful information to life science executives, patient advocates, and other healthcare professionals. When I'm not producing PharmaTalk Radio, I'm directing program content at the conference forum. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Merto Lee, who is the director of PwC Strategy UK, at the DPharm Europe conference in London this past February. And in the course of our conversation, she brought it to my attention that Puerto Rico is an interesting option to conduct clinical trials. And so here I am with Merto, who is our guest host, and together we are dedicating a radio program, to learning more about Puerto Rico as an interesting option to conduct clinical trials. And joining Merto is Dr. Cosmos Kretsos, who is the Executive Director, Puerto Rico Consortium for Clinical Investigation. So let me start by welcoming Merto. And Merto, before we have you introduce Dr. Kretsos, can you tell us a little bit about your background? And then I wanted to talk about why Puerto Rico. Tell us about it as a location for clinical trials. So the mic's over to you, Merto.
Sure. Okay, thanks, Valerie, and great to be here. So I'm Merto Lee. I'm a director, as Valerie said, in Strategy Inn. I focus on R&D strategy, as well as government affairs, market access, regulatory, and medical. In terms of background, I come with 12 years of R&D experience, starting out at Pfizer and then running a team for small biotech, getting a product into phase one and supporting a phase three program as well. So how I got involved with Puerto Rico was really a request for help to understand how they could really increase the number of clinical trials going to Puerto Rico. And that's when we actually discovered that there was a lot of untapped potential that, you know, having run clinical trials before in industry, we just really didn't know that much about it. So when I start to think of why it's different and why, you know, I'd encourage companies and not-for-profits and researchers to think about it is because it has got an untapped population. And with the work that Cosmos is leading as part of the PRCCI, they also have a rather unique now infrastructure to really be able to coordinate island-wide clinical trials. And, of course, you know, having run clinical trials, the critical thing is access to patients, quality, and really speed of recruitment. And I think that now with the initiatives that Cosmos is leading on, Puerto Rico is definitely going to start to be a lot more on the map than even it was before. So with that, let me introduce you to Cosmos. So maybe Cosmos, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we can get going.
Great. Yeah. Hi, Merto. Hi, Valerie. And hi, everybody. It's great to be here. So I'm Cosmos Kretsos. I'm heading the Puerto Rico Consortium for Clinical Investigation, and I've been in the life sciences and pharma industry for about 15 years, wearing different hats as a strategy consultant at PwC, as a clinical lead at UCB Pharma in UK, and before that at, in Silicon Valley with Entelos Incorporated, trying to understand diseases by applying mathematics. It's great to be here, and I'm delighted to be able to talk about PRCCA.
Great, thank you. And just to set the scene in terms of the initiatives that Cosmos will be sharing just shortly, this came out of a piece of work we did jointly, which really interviewed a whole bunch of stakeholders globally to understand how they saw Puerto Rico and really where there were strengths and where there were areas that they thought we could improve on. So really coming out of that, as I mentioned, some of the strengths are really around the population, the potential for really speed, and some of the existing therapeutic expertise of some of their clinicians, particularly diaspora coming back, but also, you know, homeborn researchers really within Puerto Rico. However, some of the areas where there was a lot of comments and you know, opportunities for development was around really coordinating the multiple clinical trial units across the island, getting through some of the bureaucracy with the the RIBs and the ethics committees, and really ensuring a certain quality of standard across the CDUs. So with that, Cosmas, I think there's quite a lot of opportunities really to build on strengths and areas. Tell me, what were really your key priorities to improve clinical trials coming into PRCCI?
Sure. So based on the findings you just described and the strategy, we looked at four specific areas. These were, number one was speed of execution, that is setting up and running fast and efficient clinical trials. Number two was quality and performance assurance, so adhering to the highest standards of clinical research without slowing down execution, and that's very important, but also embedding continuous improvement in all our processes. Number three was raising global awareness about our capabilities, but also some unique advantages related to running trials in Puerto Rico. And number four was investing on foundational technologies that will really set us apart and make excelling on all three previous areas much easier.
Okay, thank you. So that's a lot of initiatives for a new organization to take on. So maybe tell us a little bit more about what you did to improve each of those areas.
Sure. So let's start with speed of execution. So we offer a concierge service to all sponsors and CROs by employing people with the right experience. And myself, coming from the sponsor side, I used to lead clinical teams in pharma R&D. I know how important it is to coordinate your trial via a single knowledgeable person who understands your needs and what is important and what is not. We have also speed and efficiency benchmarks that we adhere to for all startup stages, feasibility questionnaires, site qualification visits, contract finalization, budget negotiations, etc. And also, most of our sites are very flexible in terms of using a central IRB. And for the two or three members of our consortium that have to use their own RB, like the universities, we have a reciprocal agreement to make use of the most efficient one. Patient recruitment, as you know, the most important metric in a clinical trial, is actually one of the strengths of Puerto Rico. As you know from the strategy phase and the research we did when we were developing this strategy, we were pleasantly surprised with the ease of recruitment and the small-town effect that results in fast recruitment and minimal losses to follow-up. But we can always be better. We're also working on making recruitment even faster. I will touch on this when we talk about the foundational technologies. The second area is quality and performance assurance, which is my top priority. It is bad to be slow. You will end up being not competitive and fail, but it is unacceptable to have poor quality, as this means that you're wasting the gift of the patients that volunteer, or even worse, you may be putting them in more risk than the inherent one with clinical trials. So for the quality aspects, we have engaged an external partner that is handling a rigorous onboarding process for any research site wanting to be part of the consortium. If the quality is below a certain standard, then the site sits on the bench, so to speak, and we work together to fix things so that they join us. The sites that do become members are audited by PRCCI at least once a year, but they also are in constant communication with PRCCI via a common CTMS and frequent meetups to realize continuous improvement. The other big aspect of quality lies in training. We're actively working with several members of Transcelerate to offer to our site Transcelerate certified training and material. And we have established a partnership with Yale University, with YCCI, the Yale Center for Clinical Investigation, to learn from their experts in addition to running joint research. And in fact, next week we'll be hosting YCCI for a whole week in Puerto Rico, where they're going to be delivering training, but also talking to our investigators about joint research. The third area is, as I mentioned, awareness raising, which is the easy bit, so to speak, since we have good things to make people aware of. For example, as I said, I was working in the UK as a clinical lead, placing studies in different countries, and I have to admit, back then I did not know that Puerto Rico is under FDA as a U.S. territory. There is absolutely no difference from a regulatory perspective between running a trial in San Juan or in San Diego or in San Antonio. Making people aware about the singular status of Puerto Rico as a territory under FDA is a priority, and also another key fact is that Puerto Rico is a predominantly Hispanic population. It's a majority, not a minority, in Puerto Rico, and as we know, Hispanics are severely underrepresented in U.S.-based clinical trials. So these sort of facts, together with the combined capabilities and an experience of all our research sites, forms the core of a business development effort, engaging with sponsors and CROs to inform them, but also to match our capabilities with their pipelines. But this is not all. The unique status of PRCCI as a not-for-profit with a nationwide scope allows us to reach out and collaborate with non-traditional sponsors. So, for example, we recently hosted for a full week the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority from the U.S. Department of Health, and we are already working together on ways to collaborate on the Zika epidemic and on other matters. And the same holds true for other non-traditional sponsors like the Department of Defense in the U.S. And then the last area, and personally one of the most exciting for me, is the foundational technologies. Mm-hmm. Again, our unique positioning allows us to collaborate and co-create value with different partners and in different ways. I'm not going to say a lot about this matter, as a lot of things are in the making, but I can say that one platform will be developed together with a top 10 pharma and will be centered around patients, allowing them to be informed, to be heard, to interact, and volunteer their interest to in clinical trials. And I have to say here, this is not a pharma sponsorship for gains. It's a partnership, a sharing of know-how with a nonprofit in an underserved area as part of their corporate social responsibility effort. So if any other CROs or pharma out there would like to discuss a similar initiative, please give us a ring. Besides that, another key partner is the Puerto Rico Health Information Network within the Department of Health in Puerto Rico. We are working with them to unleash de-identified data for study placement optimization and epidemiological research. Interoperability of electronic health records is another matter we are active on, as this will enhance clinical research. But I'm going to stop here before I get excited and spill all the beans.
So that's a lot of initiatives and very exciting ones. So how are you planning to make all this happen? Because I know that PRCCI is still a new organization.
Yes, we are brand new. As you know, we conceived and developed the strategy about a year ago. We started implementation in September, and we launched PRCCI officially about a month ago. So we are making happen, I believe, because of three things. So first, we are building upon a cooperative culture from day one. The research sites that are members of the consortium have actually co-created the strategy and are with us every step of the way, sharing resources, putting aside short-term gains because they have bought in the long-term vision. And it is really energizing to see businesses that were competing until yesterday to work together and share their excellence with others for a common goal. The second aspect is that we have partnered with organizations that provide us the critical know-how and own resources in these critical first steps. I mentioned Yale University, but we also partner with two for-profit organizations that allows us to start with top-of-the-line operations and quality from day one, as we are building our own capabilities. And after an exhaustive RFI and RFP process, we selected PharmaSeq as our operations partner. PharmaSeq is an investigative site network from Wisconsin with a network of more than 200 sites in the U.S. and Canada. So our operations resemble those of an ISN, so it makes perfect sense to partner with PharmaSeq. On the quality side, we partnered with TCRG, an SMO from Texas, specializing in working one site at a time and assuring quality and performance. So we felt that a partner like this can undertake onboarding our sites one by one and assuring the required standard. And also both partners helped us in securing study leads as well, in addition to the studies we bring with our own means. And lastly, I think it's the way we set up PRCCI. We are a not-profit subsidiary of the Puerto Rico Science, Research, and Technology Trust. The trust, for those that don't know about it, is the public policy body in Puerto Rico on anything to do with R&D, and provides support and funding for the first couple of years until we're fully sustainable via clinical trial revenues. And this has been invaluable and allows us to set up PRCCI the right way for the long run, without starting it immediately with an exit strategy dictated by venture capitalists.
Okay. And I guess you said it's early days, but are you seeing that some of these initiatives are paying off in terms of changes to the landscape already?
Yeah, these are certainly early days. We launched PRCCI April 11th. But I can say that the first signs are very encouraging. I am a numbers person, so I will give you some numbers. We have already signed up 7 research sites, including some of the most experienced units, and a chain of hospitals with a broad TA scope, and able to execute phase 1 to phase 4 studies. 6 more sites, including 2 universities, are at the contracting signature phase, and we anticipate to have 20 sites in the consortium in a year's time. Importantly, we were amazed with a number of study opportunities flowing in. We have more than 60 active study opportunities across 17 therapeutic areas, and the mix of sponsors is also very interesting. It's a healthy mix of studies direct from sponsors, from the top 10 pharma all the way to medium biotech and pharma, some CROs, a couple of the big ones, and some medium size, and also governmental and educational organizations as well. And lastly, very happy to report that we have 5 study awards already, including our first Zika study. I think because of our site and patient rates, we are uniquely positioned to recruit fast on diseases like Zika. So good early signs, very good.
So it sounds like you think that there's some areas that are already starting to differentiate Puerto Rico on the clinical trial landscape.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the things that I mentioned actually speak to that point. We are uniquely positioned in certain aspects.
Okay. And then, so I guess, what's the learning then for others who are also trying to improve clinical trials based on this journey that you've been going through over the last year and a half?
Well, the first learning, I think it's sort of an obvious one, is that quality and speed of execution and patient rates are paramount. This is what the sponsors and the CROs value most. So this is a customer-centric view, if you like. But clinical trials are not like any other services provision. We should never forget that these 3 priorities and properties are important for our patients as well. The ones that volunteer and take the risk of a clinical trial and receive a treatment option in return, but also to the billions of others whose life will get better and safer with the drugs we're testing. So that's the first one. The second one maybe is that you have to adapt the strategy to your capabilities, the ones you have and the ones that you can realistically develop. So as we mentioned before, our strength in Puerto Rico was a high recruitment rate, and sadly, the disease profile of the island, there is high prevalence of diseases that are at the center of clinical research, as well as top-quality physicians and clinical staff with great experience under an FDA environment. But we had to work on consistency, organization, and efficiency, so a capability-driven strategy. And in order to achieve this efficiency, we had to be creative and achieve scale and effectiveness, which in our case meant that we had to leverage the whole ecosystem within the island and create a culture of consistency and high performance across private clinical trial units, networks of hospitals, universities, government. by achieving this, we proactively minimize the need for monitoring and hopefully build a good relationship with sponsor and CROs that will place their studies in Puerto Rico again and again. But also we had to recognize our know-how gaps and partner with organizations with deep expertise and experience that also saw the tremendous potential of Puerto Rico in clinical research. So choose the right partners and embed the culture from day one is another learning.
Okay. And as you were talking, I was just noting some questions, and I'm going to give Valerie a chance at some point to come in and if there are any. But one of the things that struck me as you were speaking is this whole leveraging the whole ecosystem. So, and I guess if other ecosystems want to try and do the same and improve their environment for clinical trials, how did you go about doing that? Maybe tell us a little bit more.
Sure. So the first phase, which was on the strategy development, was an exhaustive assessment of current capabilities and talking to a lot of people, a lot of stakeholders, sponsors, CROs, research sites, government, FDA, to get a holistic view of what we're good at, what we can develop, and what is frankly out of reach. So, for example, we will never be a huge country, right, that has tens of millions of patients. We mapped really well our capabilities, and then we assessed what is missing in order to have something compelling for the sponsor and CROs to place their studies or place even more studies to Puerto Rico. And that's how we developed this strategy and execution, which is unique to Puerto Rico. So if another country wants to do it, frankly, there are no easy solutions. My view is that you have to do the same thing and build on the unique advantages of country X and acknowledge the areas that are opportunities for improvement and work on them. And always stress test what you're developing with a customer, so to speak. So be in touch with the sponsors and the CROs and make sure that what you're building is actually adding value.
And thank you. And as you were talking earlier as well, you talked about the supporting technologies, and you mentioned about a patient platform. So how critical do you think patient engagement in clinical trials is, and in particularly in the Puerto Rican context?
Yeah, that's a topic very, very close to my heart. Frankly, I don't like how patients are engaged in the current landscape. Someone signs up on a trial, receives a treatment option, and then nothing. The trial finishes, and the patient doesn't even know if the drug made it to the market in 2, 5, 10 years. There is no feedback. There is no patient empowerment. And as you know, patients, are smart, empowered people, and we need to in their personal lives, and we need to make that a reality also by looking at them as volunteers, as heroes volunteering for clinical trials. So giving them platforms that can receive feedback, can even ask about how the drug development is doing for the drug they just volunteered into, allowing them to even share their experiences, and some of them can be good or some of them can be bad. It doesn't matter. And also allowing them to volunteer for future clinical trials. So general empowerment of patients, and you know, with social media and IT platforms now, this is it's not easy, but it's certainly doable and it's feasible. So that's something that we are having as a priority in order to treat the patient as an intelligent, empowered being. Allowing the patients to interact with one another, even with pharma, you know, and make them more involved in clinical research and development.
And what about the broader stakeholders? So you spoke about, you know, the amount of stakeholders that you interviewed, and how critical and how have they helped you? You know, the ones, not necessarily the partners, but the ones that are already in Puerto Rico, how has the broader ecosystem really helped to bring all these initiatives to fruition?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I mentioned a couple of times the word co-creation. So having all the stakeholders involved from day one and the embeddedness of culture, especially within the research sites, which are basically small to medium businesses that up until yesterday they were competitors, and now they have to work together in sharing knowledge and know-how, in centralizing processes in order to compete not with one another but with the rest of the world. So it was fundamental, and it is fundamental to always, especially within Puerto Rico, to keep the internal view of how things are doing, how things are going. Do we need to change anything? And even though it's early days, our strategy is very agile and very adaptive. So Puerto Ricans are completely behind this project, and that's a good trait of the Puerto Rican culture. They're you know, passionate people. So when they feel the value of something, they get behind it 100%. And we're realizing it day by day, and we are strengthening the culture day by day within the Puerto Rico consortium, the research sites, but also with the stakeholders of that exist in Puerto Rico. So, for example, local affiliates of Big Pharma are completely on board with this, and I mentioned the Transcelerate training. We can see Big Pharma that are usually competitors working together in order to offer training, but to and also to help and give us insights in other aspects. So it's very energizing to see this culture within Puerto Rico taking shape within PRCCI.
And I guess looking to the past, what do you think has been the biggest challenges that you had to overcome with these initiatives? So you talked about the learning. If you had to pick one or two, which would be those in your mind?
Again, it's the culture. It's also the biggest challenge.
Okay.
We have to have tenacity, and in the beginning, things people have to start operating in a very different frame. That's not easy, and keeping them you know, on board and with constant communication and this and that. And the other thing is misconceptions. So as I mentioned earlier, I was in the UK, a clinical lead. No idea that Puerto Rico was under FDA, you know, kind of like addressing proactively some misconceptions about running clinical trials in Puerto Rico and setting the standard and adhering to the standard and actually advertising the standard. And I see a lot of surprised faces when I actually present data and KPIs about Puerto Rico and the quality and the speed of clinical research. But this is something we're constantly working on.
And it's interesting you mentioned preconceptions. How easy do you think it is to change some of those preconceptions that you mentioned that, you know, outside in from different countries and different organizations people might have about the quality and of clinical trials and even the ability of, you know, of Puerto Rico to compete on a global scale?
I think you have to actually show it. I mean, as I said, we've been entrusted with many study opportunities. We have to deliver. So in these initial studies that have been awarded to us, we actually have to deliver. And as you know, as well as I do, that this is professional services. So if you deliver and you're fast and you have high quality, the sponsor and the CRO will come back and will select the sites. And actually the second time is going to be easier because the selection is not going to be so hard to do. And in the third or fourth time, it's going to be a no-brainer.
So it's challenging the preconception one trial at a time.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
And as we look to the last 15 minutes really of the show, so what do you think remains forward? We spoke about a lot about initiatives, but, you know, looking to the next 3 to 5 years, what do you think are really the main challenges that you think you might be facing that you're now preparing for?
One is the macroeconomic risk. As you know, the Puerto Rican economy is not in such a good shape, and we're actually have put in action some plans in order to be bulletproof of whatever happens, because we think also, and we know this is a very important initiative for Puerto Rico as an economy as well. We are retaining brains in the form of physicians and nurses and scientists by enhancing clinical research. So everybody is aware of the importance. But we're also making plans in order to shield ourselves from any potential, you know, further downturns. So that's one risk we're mitigating against. And then the others I mentioned is basically you have to deliver and you have to build your reputation one trial at a time. And you have to keep working on the culture, especially since we are achieving scale fast, right? So I said we have 7 sites, 6 are about to sign in. We're talking about 20 sites in a year's time. I think the ceiling is about 50. That's where we placed it. But when you have an organization that's growing rapidly, then there are some growing pains. There are some risks that come with scale that we need to address.
Thank you. Valerie, was there anything that as you were hearing Cosmas and I have the conversation that you think that the audience might be interesting in hearing Cosmas talk about?
Yes, indeed. So first of all, thank you very much for this insight, because it's certainly insight I was unaware of. And sites are incredibly important, and to know other options is very helpful. And so Cosmas, you had talked about patient engagement, and this is an area that we do research in all the time, because we know that the more engaged patients are, the better outcomes we'll have. And then you also mentioned that you are adapting some new technologies that you're very excited about. You couldn't say too much about them at the moment, because I realize this is ongoing. But having said that, can you tell us more about what you're doing to enhance patient engagement and where you see technologies may play a role?
Yeah, one thing that I can maybe tell a little bit more about is this partnership where developing with the Puerto Rico Department of Health. Again, since due to our unique positioning as a nonprofit with a Puerto Rico-wide scope. So we are examining how we can help first the Department of Health in terms of resources and know-how, and get access to de-identified data that are very valuable for feasibility queries. and for placing the sites for a given trial at the right towns or areas. So what I alluded to before is site placement optimization, and I think other people are doing it. I know a few pharma companies are tapping into similar data sets in order to, and CROs in order to optimize the placement of sites, but we think we can do it now for the whole island with this partnership. And I talked about the patient centricity platform. The foundational technology is the electronic health record harmonization or interoperability, which has been a pain for a lot of U.S. states and a lot of other countries. So it's not something
indeed.
New. But I think we have a good shot at doing it in Puerto Rico, or at least taking a stab at it.
Good. I'm so pleased to hear that, because indeed it is a challenge, and in fact we'll be addressing that topic quite a bit at an upcoming conference. In fact, Myrto, it's the DPharm US program. So I met you at the DPharm London program, where we look at some of these new technologies to try to figure out how we can get patients more engaged in their clinical trials. And Cosmos, it was music to my ears to hear you say earlier how sometimes patients aren't given information about the status of the trial. They don't receive much information about how the trial is going, or receive any of the their own health data. And I'm glad to hear that that's something that you know, you're very well aware of, and as the executive director of the consortium, that it sounds like you don't want that to be the experience for your patients.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You also mentioned just real quickly Transcelerate and in the conversation, and I want to just hear a little bit more about your relationship with them.
Yeah, I mean that's another initiative that again is a no-brainer to take full advantage of. The big pharma and the medium pharma have come together to develop standards and to actually make clinical trials more efficient. So we want to be their early adapter, so to speak. So for example, for the training, it's great that once an investigator or a clinical research coordinator has received Transcelerate certified training, then this is good for any member of Transcelerate, so they don't have to repeat, you know, GCP training for again and again for every study. That's very easy to understand on what is the value for the research sites, and it's really encouraging. We have at least three or four members of Transcelerate, the local affiliate, the medical affairs people in Puerto Rico, that they're working like they work in the same company. So it's really coming from the pharma background. It's really nice to see. And we're actually scheduling the first Transcelerate training for our investigators and CRCs within the summer, and it's going seamlessly. So they just make the material available, and they make the instructors available, and they're working together. So it's going to be, you know, training that is going to be conducted by two or three companies, but hopefully when you get in the training, you won't know who's from company X or Y or Z.
Thank you. And Cosmos, for people who want to get more information from you, how can they touch base with you? Is there a website they can go to or an email address that you can share with us?
Yes. We exist in digital. So we have a website, prcci.org, and you can get more information on the website, but you can also get contact information. So anything to do with clinical research in Puerto Rico or anything else, just send us an email through the website and we'll get back to you. And then we have Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. I think Twitter is PRCCI News. So yeah, please reach out for anything that's in your mind related to Clinical Research Puerto Rico, and would be happy to discuss with you.
Okay, and you said the website was prcci.org?
Exactly, prcci.org.
Okay, fantastic. Is there anything that we didn't ask that we should have? Is there anything else you wanted to highlight to help our listeners with any further information?
Just that it's really exciting to shape this from the ground up, and it's really, really encouraging to see sponsors and CROs approaching it with the scientific approach, but also being open for something new, something different. So just sharing the feeling that it's really exciting to be part of this initiative, and we hope that the next time we speak, we'll have more good news to share with your listeners.
All right, wonderful, and I look forward to seeing its growth, and I want to thank you very much to both of you, Merto, for bringing this topic to my attention, and for helping us line up Cosmos to join us in teaching us about the new initiative, and thank you so much to both of you. And for more information about radio programs from PharmaTalk Radio, you can visit www.theconferenceforum.org. And thanks so much to both of you again.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Have a good weekend. Bye.